budget study session of MTC BATA and MTC SAFE. Bring the study session to order, and I would like to start with a roll call, please.
Good morning, Commissioners. Commission Chair Cortese. Commission Vice Chair McKenzie.
Present.
Commissioner Aguirre. Commissioner Asombrado. Commissioner Baker.
Here.
Commissioner Bates. Commissioner Campos. Commissioner Giacopini. Commissioner Glover. Commissioner Haggerty. Commissioner Halstead. Commissioner Kinsey. Commissioner Licardo. Commissioner Luz.
Here.
Commissioner Pierce.
Here.
Commissioner Sartipi. Commissioner Schaff. Commissioner Spearing. Commissioner TCA.
Here.
Commissioner Winner.
Here.
Commissioner Worth.
Thank you. The second agenda item is a Pledge of Allegiance. If you could all stand and join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'd like the Commission Secretary to make the compensation announcement, please.
As authorized by state law, I'm making the following announcement. Each member of the board here today will be entitled to receive $100 per meeting attended, up to a maximum of $500 per month per agency. This amount is provided as a result of convening a meeting for which each member is entitled to collect such amount.
Thank you for that announcement. We're all grateful. Number four on the agenda, the draft fiscal year 15-16 agency budget presentation, and I'd like to turn this meeting over to our executive director.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, good morning. I just wanted to alert you to the fact that we're trying something here today that we haven't done before, and I'd like to thank Brian Mayhew for suggesting the idea. We typically present you the budgets for the three operating entities here, MTC, SAFE, and BATA, separately, in separate committee meetings. And we thought it would make some sense to try to put it all together, even though the budgets are legally separate and you'll take legally separate actions next month. It's all you. It's all us. And we thought it made sense to put them all together. And try to show you some cross-cutting issues and trends, some of which are encouraging, some of which are a little worrisome. But that's the purpose of putting it together today. And Brian's got about 10 pictures to show you, and he's promised me he's not going to spend 10 minutes on each one. But I think it's some useful information for you to have. And as they often say, one way to see an organization's values is to look at its budget and where it puts its money. And so we hope we can show that to you with a little more insight today. Brian?
Thank you, sir. And good morning, Commissioners. And I guess welcome to the first ever study session we've done on the budget. I've been here 15 years, and this is the first time we've put it all together in one place. So it's sort of back to the future for me because this is the way I used to work in my Muni days. Let's start with we're going to go through a couple of things. Oh, with me is Eva Sun. I think you know her. She runs all of the, well, runs everything. And Sonia is running the computer on the right. Okay, quickly, sort of you see it all in one place, just to go over some of the obvious points. First of all, you know MT, you know our different components. In this place, we treat each different component as if they're separated by streams and they can't look at each other. To me, it's only funds. One account here, one account there, a self-balancing set of books and records, that's what they are. They all roll into the same GL, and Eva manages them all, we manage them all, and Susan manages all the treasury. But there are different components. You know MTC, that's basically the administrator of the place. They also run the planning and the grants. Clipper, as you know, is the smart card, and that is turning into a bigger and bigger operation. BATA is our biggest operation. That's where toll collections happen. SAFE, all the freeway service patrol, the call boxes, and then, you know, Baja and BAFA. We will not get into those two today because they're basically JPAs. BAFA is not yet an operating entity, so it doesn't have an operating budget, and its capital budget has already been approved. Baja will become an operating entity this year, and so and we'll have present that, and it's a different board. So anyway, as you know, all of the operating entities are separately budgeted with self-balancing books and records. However, like all operating funds of a governmental agency, they tend to mix the streams. The transfer will happen here. A payment will happen across there. One treasury account manages everything in its little stovepipes. So the idea is to get you acquainted with the fact that this is all sort of one big unit. Sonia? Starting with the biggest of the big, the most obvious is BATA is our largest operation, and clearly so. It is very nearly $1 billion in revenue a year, or $750 million now, and tolls are our largest revenue source. They make not only contributions to BATA, but MTC and SAFE as well. MTC's revenue sources we're going to go into a bit later are mainly sales tax planning grants, the BATA 1% fee, and then the biggest revenue source in MTC now has become transfers and grants. And so that gets to be one of the things we have to look at as we're going into the future. With BATA, of course, the largest expense we have in the place is debt service. 54% of everything we collect goes into paying bondholders who have lent us roughly $12 billion, and we want to make sure we're paying them back. And on the schedule, you can see salaries and benefits, roughly about 3% of the whole shooting match. This looks at a sort of larger picture of our total, the budgets that have gone over the past 5 years. One of the reasons for doing this is to take a look. I mean, the idea is, well, first of all, we've been basically balanced through the whole recession and the post-recession era. Some of that has used up some reserves, which is the way you're supposed to do it with reserves. But we've been in pretty decent shape through this entire the post-recession era, and things are getting a bit better. As you can see, BATA, if you look at that top line, you'll see BATA swings up and down a little. That is that's not the toll revenue itself. That's actually the state payments for the completion of the seismic retrofit program. The opposite side of that transaction is transfers over to BAFA, which paid the debt service off. That was a financing of about $1 billion. It got the seismic retrofit program jump-started for us. And in doing that, what it did was allow us to have the time to plan the financing strategy for the seismic retrofit program and get a $1 billion jump-start. That $1 billion actually got retired last year, about 3 years ahead of schedule and about $85 million in less interest. So we're pretty happy with the way that transaction worked. You will also see where the biggest drop in this year is in the debt line, and that is in BATA. Again, the debt line is because we did some refundings last year, so you're seeing the first dividend of what's going to be about $350 million in total savings. That'll start happening over the next few years through 2019. So that's the biggest drop in the budget. Sorry? Now to people. There are a total of about 239 full-time equivalents in the 14 budget. We're going to ask that to be increased to about 243 full-time equivalents in the 16 budget, and I'll go over the details of those. You see what's proposed is there's one senior planner for major projects. They'll go into planning. One will go into my shop and our accounts receivable side, and we'll talk about grants in a few minutes and where that's going to be working. And then the Clipper goes into the new Clipper project, and as I understand, that's going to be paid for by the operators. Then there's the other side of it is in a place with roughly $1 billion a year and $100+ million in grants going on at any given time. 200 people is a relatively small number, 204. We actually have about 15 or 16% of our staff that are contract staff. Now, they're hired. They are contract. They're called RGS or LGS. It is hired through a JPA. The JPA, these are fully benefited employees who are retained for what the contract or the project, and then they would go off depending on the schedule of the project. Some projects last multiple years, and they'll be here for longer than that. Some, it's only a year. But it does allow us to meet some of the project and grant needs we have without staffing up and then having to let staff go. Okay, switching to more macro things, since my degree is in economics, so I get once a year I get to talk about it. The first part of it is we don't have property taxes, but our regional measures are basically toll collections and sales taxes. And the good news is there's nothing but good news. As you can see, the top bar, set of bars on the right, sales tax revenue has been going up since 2011. This is a stronger recovery than the post-2001. In fact, from an economic standpoint, the 2001 recession actually was a bigger hit on the region than the current recession. Because the Silicon Valley part of it was ramping up at about the time the recession hit, and it sort of mixed a few things and helped mitigate it just a bit, whereas the Y2K dot bomb, that hit, and hit hard in the South Carolina. So we think 15 and 16 will be another good year. It's starting out well. It's ending well this year. We don't see anything to really slow it down on any immediate cycle, so we're looking pretty good going into next year. Toll traffic, you see a big jump there between 2010 and 2011. That jump is the change in the toll structures where the HOVs went from being free to half of the normal two-axle rate, which is $2.50. That jumped us up about, almost 10 million cars, 8 million cars. Since that jump up in 2011, though, we have picked up, traffic has gone up another 10 million cars. And if you were to subtract out the HOVs, which is roughly 6 million of them, we are actually about back at the highest level we ever had. Now, that's a two-edged sword, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But anyway, we see traffic ending up this year. We do not, in BATA or from toll traffic, really project much of an increase. A couple reasons for that is, one, we have toll covenants we have to make. And if we have too wild a set of swings in toll revenue, makes the covenants harder if you don't make them. So we tend to, in the credit world, take whatever we think is the actual for the end of the year, hold it for the next year. And so we're always sort of 1 year in arrears trying to adjust where the economy is going to go as far as toll bridge traffic is concerned. But you can see it's going up. I mean, this has been a pretty decently steady climb. But that also is part of a two-edged sword. Taking a little longer look at the two revenue sources, and starting with toll traffic on the top, you can see that from 2004 is the highest paid traffic level we had prior to the jump in 2010. About 124, 125 million cars was our paid traffic level, and we had never seen a drop in traffic prior to that in our recording of the traffic flows. From there, we start losing about 1 million to 2 million cars a year. And we were bleeding them pretty consistently, and we were bleeding them every year, which made working with the projections and covering debt service and other things a great deal of a big concern. You can see the jump in 2010. A lot of things happened over that period. Some we can explain, some we can't explain. We had some technological problems. The system that was in place, we found out as we were replacing it, did indeed have some potential technical glitches. Basically, it could erase a transaction. And without a rejected items list, we didn't know which ones it erased. The second thing was there was a lot of construction around, especially in the west side of the Bay Bridge, and that really hurt us. And then finally, the HOVs, the free vehicles, went up 1 million cars a year. While these were going down, the free vehicles went up 1 million a year. And, of course, this is the Bay Area. They were all perfectly legitimate HOVs, or all multi-person HOVs. As soon as we put a toll on them, they did, of course, drop by 70%. But so that was one of the concerns there. As you can see, since then, since the toll increase went in and we adjusted the tolls in 2010, we've actually recovered well with the economy. All bridges now are at or near their high. The problem is, of course, they're at or near their high a decade later. And so if you don't want to go through a cycle that takes you 10 years to recover from and project on it. So that is one of the problems we will face looking at BATA into the future. It's good, it's safe, it's stable. We do think there's a peak capacity in traffic that we use for modeling purposes, and not for planning purposes, I might add, but just for financial modeling purposes. So we're getting pretty close to where we think financially that if we pick up another 1 or 2%. The enterprise itself is really in very, very good shape then. One of the issues as you see that big drop, though, is to remember, before we would break any covenants or you would have to face a toll increase related to traffic drops, it would have to break that 120 million barrier. So 120 million paid vehicles, we'd have to break that, and then we would have about a year to fix it. So assuming that traffic would not drop 8 million cars in a single year, we'd have plenty of warning that things are going bad. On the sales tax side, a little bit different. You can see by the chart on the bottom chart that sales taxes have indeed dropped, better than 15% twice in just the last 15 years. You also, if you were to track this back even farther and go looking into the future, find that the Silicon Valley cycles like to run about every 6 years. Of course, 2016 will be the 6th year of growth. So you've got something to look at there, because here you're dealing with a revenue source, and you all know it in your home jurisdictions, that can drop overnight, and then everything you've based your budgets on in the past few years has to be rethought. Kind of one of the things we try to stay away from, in the sense that we try to keep it flattened out. We try to look into the future through those valleys and see where we're going to be. But like everybody else, the revenue is revenue, and that's what we budget. So that is certainly a concern we're going to have going into the future. A couple of other things going into a little bit more of the more specific side is MTC. MTC is the parent organization and is the administrative organization for everything that we fund here. MTC has also got three major revenue sources: sales taxes and toll revenue we already talked about. Both of those can be affected by the economy. Its other major revenue sources, federal planning funds, which you can see by that top graph, has been relatively flat. So, I mean, the level of revenue is roughly the same as it was going back to 2007. It swings occasionally with cleanups or other swings in federal funding, but it's much flatter than we had anticipated it was going to be. And that will get to be a concern as we're going forward. If you look at that set of numbers on the right, they're sort of an adopted schedule from some budget numbers we work with. That schedule, it takes the core, what we call the core revenue sources, those things that run the salaries, benefits, and turn on the lights and keep the cars going at MTC. Those are the very core revenues. They're not specifically tied to a function like a grant would be or a transfer of something for a specific purpose. These are what you would call your generally available general fund revenues. Problem here is, if you just look at the core expenses, salaries, benefits, and the light bulbs and insurance and everything else, and just control those, taking out grants and transfers and everything else, at current trend, we would go deficit within 4 or 5 years. That is a structural deficit staring you in the future. It's not inevitable. It doesn't have to happen. There are things we can do as we're looking into the future, but what we can't do is we can't regulate sales taxes. We can't increase toll traffic fees just to cover it. So it is something we'll have to look forward in the future, a couple of things we can do to work on it. But you have to be aware, as you're going forward, MTC has become dependent as an operating entity on these transfers and on these grants. And so that becomes an important thing. If those grants and other things begin to fall away, MTC would literally be limited to what it does to operate every day and turn on the lights, and a lot of the other functions you do, given the staffing we have, it wouldn't be supportable, not with this revenue stream. But again, this is not the inevitable. This isn't something that has to happen, and it's not something the boss is going to let happen, but we do have to let you know that it is actually sitting out on the horizon. And I wouldn't be a finance officer if I didn't say, didn't put this chart up. It isn't long ago that most of us, most jurisdictions, were super funded. That great misnomer that you would never, ever, ever, ever see another PERS increase, no matter what you did in benefits. That unfortunately changed about 2008. Then, of course, PERS losses in 2005, 2001, 2008 and 2009 have made for major adjustments. You can see that our costs have gone from literally zero a decade ago to now encroaching in on $7 million. More of a concern to me is that the cost for both PERS and OPEB, again, costs that didn't exist a decade ago, You can see how much has had to be absorbed, and you can also see why going into the future. We've absorbed all of this now, but it keeps going up and our revenues stay flat. This is the biggest part of the problem. But if you go and you look into the future, this is going to the payments won't double, but it will go to 40% of salary from 30, just current trend. Some of the positive sides of this, I think, is that PERS has a much improved actuarial program. I also think that the people who run the actuarial side now and the people, if you go back to the 80s and 90s, to PERS, the agencies were simply like a utility. They were the conduit. You pay us. They only cared about the members. Going last few years, they began to, Alan Mulligan and others began to see that if you dry up the members, they start to get into problems. And there are many agencies that have had a lot of problems making their PERS obligations. A lot of unfunded obligations have shown up where they didn't exist a few years ago. We're not one of them, but it is something to be very concerned about going into the future. It is also something, I think, now that PERS has adopted a measurable amortization program, I think it's more reasonable, and PERS has adopted a 100% funding strategy, we now have a target to hit. Before, while they were moving every year and they would just keep re-amortizing and readjusting, it was hard to know where you were going to go and what your unfunded true liability was. With the changes they made this year, I think it is a far more predictable pattern. It's not going to be cheap. They by going from one way of valuing assets to another way, they cost us 15% of the assets. However, going into the future, that will be more stable. I think now we have a decent target to hit. And I think we can actually put a couple things together that might, at least for us, begin to manage them. And we'll bring that back to you probably in the fall. Won't go much through that for now. One other thing is, as all agencies, we have a designated set of reserves. Each fund has a set of reserves and a set of goals to handle. BATA is the biggest set of reserves, and of course, it would be. BATA has $500 million in debt service to meet every year, and that's a tremendous burden. In addition to the capital project, that has to go. What we did years ago in designing the reserve structures for BATA is design a structure that would allow us to maintain the entity after some sort of catastrophe for basically 18 months without going to toll payers. Basically, the idea is, and without hitting the actual debt service reserves, which is a bigger problem, the idea here is you don't want to be in a regional problem and go hit people and say, hey, you know, our revenue was knocked off for 6 months. You mind raising your toll now? This will give you the time to look through. We'll be able to adjust. We'll be able to meet any reasonable level of immediate repairs and then get into longer-term repairs and get into longer-term financial modeling and see what has to be done. This is a very important, a critical part of BATA's ratings because BATA is now the highest-rated toll agency in the country. There's a very important part of it because if you look at, as you look through BATA's budget, the salaries, revenues, the coverages would not be the normal AA level. This is what makes it what it is and keeps your debt costs down and also protects you going into the future. MTC is a little bit different. It's a much smaller budget, a much smaller level of reserves. The idea with the reserves at MTC is to cover our operating costs or get a 6 months worth of cash flow. Reasons for that are relatively simple. Cash flow is always good. You'd rather pay for things when people give you the bill than try to hide them in a safe or something till you have cash. Secondly, we have $140 or $50 million in grants, plus the Clipper operations. All of these require upfront cash. I mean, we pay it first. We then get an invoice. The invoice then goes to Caltrans or some agency. The invoice then gets through an approval process, and then ultimately we get the money back. From expenditure to the receipt of that money can be anywhere from 90 to 120 days. You're covering an operating grant and Clipper program that is 4-5 times the size of the entire MTC budget. So that's why this becomes a critical piece of what we do. And this is something we have to watch very carefully going into the future. Not being able to manage cash flow in that way, it becomes a simple matter of you simply would not get projects done on an adopted budget basis. You would get them done on a cash flow basis. And having been in this business long enough, I've done that before, and it's not something you want to do intentionally. Finally, SAFE, a smaller operation. It has a goal of $3 million, or I think its goal is 2 months of coverage. Not as much of a cash flow need there, besides it cash flows and the banks protect each other no matter what happens in this area. So it's at about $1.4 million. It could have been higher, but I think part of SAFE's, and you see it in the budget, they're dedicating a bit more to capital projects. The cash flow is not as critical, and there are a lot of things there that if the cash went down, you could literally offset it a different way. Not quite MTC's. We've got all the grants. We have to keep them going, and oops, money drew up. That's about it for the basics. Before we walk through some of the schedule details, and we'll do that very quickly for you, any questions, anything I can answer?
Don't appear to be any questions.
Okay, then quickly, Eva will walk you through BATA's budget. You want me to do it?
There's a BATA memo in your packet right after the budget study session. And on the first page of the memo, it talks about our current year revenues and our current year expenses. Let's see. Can you hear me now? Okay, sorry. So current year revenue for toll revenue and traffic, as you can see on table 1 and 2, we're up about 3.6 million cars. That's about 3% of last year's. If you're talking at we're looking at 9 months this year versus 9 months last year. Okay. And then the expenses, which are on the next page, current year expenses, we project the current year expenses will come in at the approved budget level for the 15 year. And we talked about earlier about the credit card charges being a little bit higher due to more fast track usage and also higher interbank fees. But we've got enough coverage in the budget right now. And on next year's operating budget for the 15-16 year, there's a projected surplus of $106 million, and that's going to go towards the capital projects that we have for BATA. General toll revenue, we estimate to increase about 3% over the budget from this year. So it'll be the sixth straight year of toll revenue increases. Okay, and the other revenue section, there's a higher reimbursement from ACTC because the express lane for I-580 is expected to open later this fall, and our service center will be collecting all the costs for that, and we'll be invoicing ACTC for that. So that's the part of the increase for the other revenue in BATA. Let's see. On the operating expenses, for toll bridge and operations and maintenance expense, there's about a 6.6% increase over the prior year. The proposed increase includes the Caltrans expenses, which is about 2.22%. The headcount is the same as the prior year, the PYs. What's increased is the rates themselves. Okay. And then on the Fast Track Regional Service Center, there's a 5% increase over last year, and that's due to expected usage for a Fast Track, and also we've got the express lane that's opening up later in this fall. The detailed budget schedules are in Attachment A if you want to see that, and we can ask for questions later. And also on the toll bridge administration, which is going to be at $27 million, there's about a 0.9 million increase from the prior year. Okay, and it's mainly due to lower financing costs in the 16 year from the 15 year. Transfers to MTC, on the RM2 marketing program, there's $1 million included in the budget to help cover costs for the in-person Clipper service centers and $1.8 million for Clipper marketing for the 16 year, which is higher than the prior year. And the debt service is $43 million less than the 15 year, okay, and that's due to the lower interest rates from the 2014 bond refundings that were done. Okay, on the capital project side, on the express lanes, the current budget is $326.2 million. There's a proposed increase of $40 million to the capital projects for express lanes to make it come out to $366.2. And at the BAFA meeting next month, there'll be a presentation to show you how the budget will be used for the $40 million. But mainly the $40 million would cover startup funding operations for the Contra Costa County, Alameda County, and Solano County express lanes, and also to help convert HOV lanes in I-880 for Alameda and Contra Costa counties. On the seismic retrofit programs, let's see. There's no change to the overall budget, but there's a $45 million reduction in the Antioch and Dumbarton projects due to cost savings from that project, and it's going to be moved into the contingency budget in case we need it for demolition of the East Span. And on the rehab budget, which is on the next to last page of the memo, the numbers are not final yet. They're still working on it. Right now, we have the rehab budget at $75 million for the 16-year. So BATA management and Caltrans management are still working on finalizing the list of projects and prioritizing it for next year. So we should bring you the list in June. And the reserve designations, Brian already went through on his previous previous presentation. So that concludes the BATA draft budget. We're going to come to BATA oversight in June with the final budget for your approval. So are there any questions on the budget this time?
Questions on this section, BATA section? Commissioner Lewis.
Mr. Chairman, I guess, not so much as a question, I'm just trying to follow what you were saying. And if I understood the revenue from your attachment A, we've got about almost a 10% drop, expenses. Is that right due to reduced contributions to Baja as well as interest expenses?
Yes. The main one is the refundings we did. You're going to see a reduction in debt service roughly $50 to $70 million a year for the next few years over what it was last year. And that's simply reduced interest costs.
Well, that's a good thing. I guess that has something to do with our AA rating, I imagine. So, yeah.
It doesn't appear there's any other questions on this section.
Okay, the next budget is a SAFE budget. So right after the budget, the BATA budget memo, there's a SAFE budget memo also. So on the first page, the on the operating side for SAFE, there's a projection of operating surplus projected at $282,000 for the year. And on table one, it's the listing of the revenues for SAFE. On the 16 budget, you can tell that the largest revenue source for SAFE is a DMV revenue from the nine counties, based on the car registration fee of a dollar. And there's two grants, one for STP for $2.2 million, and the LAP grant is for $5.8 million. Those two grants help fund the Freeway Service Patrol program. And the revenues gone has been reduced by about $1.5 million from the 15 budget, but the expenses also are down by about $1.5 million. Okay, so on page two is a table of the expenses for the proposed project. Let's see. And the largest expense item is the FSP program for the tow beats, which is at $8.8 million in the 15-16 column. And the transfer to MTC number is to about $2 million, and about $1.5 million of that is for the 511 program, the transportation management system, and also the emergency joint operations center. Salaries and benefits is at $942,000. That's about five FTEs, and about four of them work on the Freeway Service Patrol program. And on the capital side, there's going to be, for two existing programs, we're going to add $900,000 to the two existing capital programs, and there's two new programs. On the two new programs, the first one includes a $2.5 million contribution to MTC for a Phase 1 connected vehicle pilot deployment project. And if MTC does not get that grant, then the SAFE funds would be used for other applications identified as part of the planning efforts. And the second new project is for $3.2 million. And these funds are, the bulk of these funds are to be used for a demonstration project to utilize adaptive ramp metering to help smooth traffic flows, and also for dynamically metered traffic entering the freeways. Okay. And on the operating reserves, which is on the third page of the memo, the on the 16 budget, you'll see that the total reserves is about $11.7 million. It's a little bit higher than the 15 year, but the total restricted amount is at $10.3 million. That's due to the $6.6 million worth of projects that SAFE is proposing to do. And so with that 6.6, the unrestricted part has also been reduced by about $6.6 million. So there's enough cash flow for about, I guess the recommended level of cash flow is at 20%, which is, and the unrestricted balance right now is lower than that, so because of the two projects that we're working on. So that concludes the SAFE draft budget. Are there any questions?
Any questions on the SAFE budget? Seeing no requests to speak, I think that concludes that section.
Well, the last budget you have to look at today, and I know you want to look at more, but is MTC. So that's the last memo in the packet. We've gone through most of the details, what concerns or changes would be in it, so I'll skip most of the revenue sources. And you see the salary and benefit lines changing. As the memo says, most of that is contracted and PERS changes. That's so about two-thirds of it, and about one-third is two new positions that are going into the general fund. As far as the grants, you see those on Attachment B. It's handy to look at it if you get a chance to glance at it, because it lists a number of projects. And what I've said, the warning is always, we're taking these on a grant award basis, and to take on $150 million worth of grants, you need people and you need an administration, and that's why we have to watch MTC very carefully as we go through. But anyway, there's $36 or $37 million in new grants going in. Climate initiative is about $14 million, some program budgets, and then another one for incident management, and those are all detailed in Attachment B. So with that, I just want to touch for a second on page 4, the reserve balance. As you can see, the reserve itself has been relatively stable in the last few years, but the use of the reserve, the designations of the reserve, is what we reserves have several purposes. One of the most important is to deal with one-time expenses, and that's generally what we do with it. The building move is a one-time expense, so you're going to take that out of the reserve rather than blow your budget up and then blow it down the next year. So we do that. There are other things in liability reserves and things like that that have to be funded. Those are one-time expenses as well. But it is one of the things that as we have to designate more, then the undesignated component goes down, your flexibility, your cash flow goes down. For the moment, 3 months is a pretty good deal. We'll live with it since it's better than, many times in my past career. It's a problem I like having and building on as opposed to when we can't meet. But it is something, as you look at it, so that we'll watch going into the future. With that, we're done with the do's and don'ts of the budget. You get all of them back, and you'll see them in the more traditional way we do it here, and that is each individual board will approve its individual budgets, and then you'll see those in June with a final approval in late June, and that will take us through the budget process for this year.
Okay, any other questions or comments on this study session? We'll have Commissioner Spearing and then Rainwood.
Yeah, on the, I can't read the number. It's too small for me. It's 1611 or 1511. It's a transportation and land use coordination. The detail.
Any grants?
It's the ABAG, FHWA. Can you just walk down through the what those fundings are?
You got it?
Those allocations.
Can you give us a page number, Commissioner?
I'm at 7 of 10.
Thank you. Might be easier for one of these two deputies to answer that question.
Work item 1611. Let me just clarify here.
Yeah, I think. Well, I can't read the number on mine, but it looks like it's 1611.
1611, and you're asking about the ABAG number?
Well, yeah, I would like you to just kind of walk down through four. Just tell me, is that ABAG FHWA, is that the Plan Bay Area planning piece, or is there another? What is that?
No, this would be. That's the contractual amount that we would have with ABAG.
Okay.
Commissioner,
We pass through roughly $4 million a year to ABAG. This is part of that, I believe. And then we pass through another $6 million a year to the congestion management agencies. So every year that's $10 million out the door from us to them. And I think, as Brian indicated, we've got a squeeze going on here at MTC where our costs are growing faster than our revenue. And so not only do we rely on transfers, but a few people also rely on us for transfers to them. And I think that's an issue that you've got to keep in your mind as we go through this budget process as well.
Where would the Plan Bay Area allocation that is going to ABAG for the planning? Where is that reflected in
well,
the budget?
Well, again, we have been transferring to them a fairly substantial sum of money. It's now about $4 million for as long as I can remember. So that predates Plan Bay Area. Now, the Plan Bay Area costs themselves, right, the cost to rent all the rooms and do the EIR and all that, we pay for that entirely, and we pay for it directly.
Okay. Well, you just said you passed through about $4 million.
Yeah, that pass-through is essentially for the ABAG planning department.
And is that just woven throughout this budget, or
correct.
Is there
correct.
A line
I think
item
you're
for
finding,
that?
You're finding one place where $2 million shows up, but the number, as I recall, is about $4 million.
And where would I find that other $2 million?
Well, the best way to look at it, Commissioner, we bring you an annual funding agreement with ABAG every year, and we'll be bringing one to you. We have to bring one to you next month because it expires at the end of June. So you'll see all the sources that come from it. The basic architecture of it is, as Brian mentioned, we get federal planning money and we get sales tax money. Those are two of our three big funding sources. We basically give ABAG a percentage of each of those. And then they also get some fund sources that we've added to that over the years. And that's an annual exercise we go through.
Okay. The reason why I'm asking is, you know, we have a committee that's looking at that planning function. And, you know, and so that recommendation the budget recommendation comes before the commission next month?
Yes.
At our commission meeting.
That's right.
Okay. So I'm just trying to get the time frame as to how soon we need to make a decision or what we're doing with
yeah,
the
it's a fiscal year agreement like we have with most folks, so it expires June 30th.
Okay. And then this $2 million, that is not part of the planning allocation, is that correct?
No, I expect it is.
It is.
Oh, part of that
the
is.
Budget, I have to tell you, the budget is not the easiest place to actually figure out a big picture because the budget breaks everything into silos and line items.
Yeah. I was having trouble finding, because I know, you know, there's other allocations that we give to ABAG.
Right.
And I couldn't find those in here. So that's why I was, and I knew it was $4 or $5 million, and I was trying to figure out, where is that?
You actually have to add a few of these cells right. together. So again, just for round numbers, it's about $4 million, okay. And it's an annual figure.
Ken, when this comes back, can you break that down so we know what that allocation is?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Absolutely. You see that every year when you approve
it. Yeah, that detail. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to, Brian, go back and kind of focus a little bit on the OPEB. Numbers that you've provided. So I know you expressed, you know, concern about looking to the future and where those trends are going. And I recall that a couple of years ago we did a significant amount of funding to be able to cover our, you know, OPEB costs. And I guess that was sort of past liabilities, so we were current. So does this number here in the table 2 then with the 2015-16 budget, are we continuing to stay, you know, kind of current as in terms of funding our OPEB costs, or is there another gap in that, you know, based on actions of the state or whatever that may also exist?
Well, let's deal with a couple pieces at a time. Yes, you're absolutely correct. In 2007 and 8, given the nature of what a totally unfunded liability was and what it would do, we were worried about several aspects, including what the rating agencies saw of a 100% unfunded liability. Yes, we made a big $7 million down payment to that. At the time, It took the liability, the unfunded liability, to only about 15%. What's happened since then is standards have changed, actuarial values have changed, the way things are done have changed. I have to say it is a bit more realistic than it was before. But what happened to us was the actual actuarial value, you take the discount rate, you lower the discount rate, then your unfunded liability goes up. It's a cause and effect. So it is higher. At the moment, we do make all of our contributions, all of the what the accounting standards call required annual required contributions. We make them all. They're fully budgeted in here. We've made 100% of them. Again, the problem is going to be going into the future is the unfunded liability seems to want to grow on its own, whether we put more people or less people or anything else into it. It has a life of its own now. And so what we'd like to do in the future is pretty much flatten it out. There's an opportunity ahead of us, and I think if things go, if PERS particularly, and that's the other side of the equation, PERS I think has just shot thing up. I mean, it literally changed its entire actuarial structure, changed the way it valued assets. But until they steadied down to what it was going to look like in the future, we couldn't hit that. Now I think we've got both of them. We do make our required contributions. All of them are built in. We've never missed a payment. We make them to both the OPEB side, which is a trust we administer, and the PERS side, which, of course, is administered by PERS. We've never missed it. We'll keep it up there. But looking into the future, you don't want to be there. And I think there has to be a way to begin to control this cost within the contractual arrangements we have. And I think that we have a shot at that later on this year.
Anything else from members of the commission? Seeing nothing further, I think that concludes the study session. Thank you. Turn it over to Commissioner Rainworth for the BATA.